Welcome to Brian's Spain Domain, and today we are going to talk about a subject that that I find very interesting and surprising. And it's one that, as often is the case, not a lot of people in the world know about, and not even a lot of Spaniards know this either. The Spaniards can be very proud of their history and things that have happened, but you'd be surprised to know how little they know about some pretty interesting achievements that they've made and done, and yet not a lot of people know about them, and they end up finding out through Brian's Spain Domain, and I say that with a certain degree of pride, because I'm not just telling people from around the world what Spain has done and what interesting things we've learned about this country, but even some Spaniards we'll learn something too. So anyway, today we are going to talk about what many people consider to be one of the first parliamentary governments in the world, and according to some, the first in Europe. And this can be traced back to the 12th century in the Kingdom of León, which is sort of in the north-northwest part of the Iberian Peninsula. It's not in the corner. It's sort of straight north, north, a little bit northwest of Madrid. And it was one of the major kingdoms in the early Middle Ages. And during the Reconquista period, when they were trying to push the Muslims out after they had invaded in 711. Now, parliament is what historians recognize as the first parliamentary assembly that included representatives of the common people. And that's what sets it apart from the rest. This pioneering event marked a fundamental step toward the development of representative institutions in Europe. The assembly, known as the Cortes of León, was summoned in 1188 by King Alphonse IX of León, the newly crowned king. Its significance lies not only in its early date, but also in its composition and purpose, which anticipated many of the features later seen in parliaments across the continent. Now, to understand the importance of these Cortes of León, it's necessary to situate within the political and social landscape of the time. The Kingdom of León at first was sort of a successor state to the earlier medieval Kingdom of Asturias, which had started as a powerful Christian kingdom during the beginning of the Reconquista. That's the nearly 800-year process of reclaiming Iberian territories from Muslim rule. And it started up in this region on the northern coast of Spain called Asturias. That's where it all began. And the first kingdom that came from that was called the Kingdom of Asturias. And Asturias moved down south and conquered territory to the south, which included the city of León. And eventually it was sort of the Asturian Leonese kingdom. And eventually, by the late 12th century, León was an established and relatively centralized monarchy. However, this kingdom faced both internal tensions and external pressures. Internally, the royal authority had been challenged by the nobility and the clergy, who often sought to protect their privileges and influences and influence the king's decisions. Externally, León was in constant competition with its neighboring Christian kingdoms, such as Castile and Portugal, as well as facing the constant military demands of the Reconquista against the Muslims, mainly to the south. Now, Alfonso IX, whose reign went from 1188 to 1230, came to the throne as a young and relatively inexperienced leader. He recognized that he needed to consolidate his legitimacy and strengthen royal governance through consensus rather than force. This sort of situation was a constant issue for kings during the period of the Kingdom of Leon and even the early years of the Kingdom of Castile, where the nobility was particularly strong. Now, in 1188, Alfonso IX summoned representatives from across his kingdom to meet in the royal palace of Leon. It's a beautiful city in Castilla León, to the northwest of Madrid. Highly recommendable. I love to go up there. I don't get there as often as I'd like, but whenever I get a chance, I head up there. This meeting is now considered to be the first European Parliament because for the first time in recorded history, it included not only nobles and clergy, but also elected representatives of the cities, ordinary citizens chosen from urban communities. Just a year before, in 1187, a similar assembly gathered in the beautiful medieval town of San Esteban de Gormaz, one also recommendable place to visit. That's in the province of Soria. But that gathering wasn't an official assembly. It was called a Curia Regia, a royal council, and it was presided by Alfonso IX's cousin, Alfonso VIII. Nobility and clergy attended, but apparently no representatives from each town. But getting back to the Cortes of León, what made them so special? Well, it was an assembly which brought together three distinct groups, social groups. You had the nobility, who represented the military aristocracy and landowners. You had the clergy representing the ecclesiastic hierarchy, the bishops, the abbots, and then the priests and the monks. And then you had the citizens representing the emerging middle class of merchants, artisans, and urban residents of the main towns of the kingdom. This inclusion of city representatives was revolutionary. Previous royal councils, as I was telling you about just a minute ago, or assemblies in medieval Europe, were almost exclusively aristocratic or ecclesiastical gatherings. Now, by inviting commoners, so to speak, to participate, Alfonso IX effectively recognized the growing importance of towns in the political and economic life of the kingdom. Several factors motivated Alfonso's decision. First, he faced political instability and needed to secure broader support and strengthen his rule. His father, Ferdinand II, had faced conflicts with the nobility, and Alfonso wished to avoid similar uprisings. By convening the courts and granting the cities a voice, he built alliances beyond the traditional elite. Also, there were financial considerations. The Reconquista required substantial resources, and the king needed the cooperation of the towns to raise taxes and troops efficiently. Okay, this Reconquista, you have to understand what it's like. It's just not like a monarchy with a huge army. It's a conglomerate. It's a group of cities and provinces, but mainly cities, because it's almost like city-states. And so the king had to work with these people to get people to support him on these campaigns. And then finally, the move reflected a growing administrative sophistication within the kingdom. Urban centers were becoming hubs for trade, and their leaders were increasingly educated and capable of contributing to royal policy. They had their opinions, their interests, and the Cortes of León sort of mirrored the kingdom's evolving social and economic structures. The proceedings of the 1188 Cortes resulted in a series of written decisions known as the Decrees of León. These decrees were preserved in medieval manuscripts and have been recognized by UNESCO in its Memory of the World program as the oldest documentary evidence of a parliamentary system in Europe. So these decrees came in their written form are proof that what I'm telling you about is true and defended by most historians and experts. What were these all about? Well, they outlined several fundamental principles. One was the limitation of royal authority. The king agreed to rule in consultation with the courts, the cortes, promising not to make important decisions, such as declaring war, negotiating peace, or issuing new taxes without their consent. And they also discussed the protection of rights and property, affirming the rights of individuals to justice and security, and they limited the arbitrary confiscation of property by royal officials. They just couldn't go around taking people's property or necessarily detaining them or arresting them without cause. There were some judicial guarantees that reinforced the idea that no one could be punished or deprived of possessions without due process. Transparency and accountability was also discussed. The Cortes acted as a forum where grievances against royal officers could be voiced and investigated. The measures represented an embryonic form of constitutional monarchy in which the ruler's power was subject to legal and collective oversight. Although the king retained ultimate authority, his decisions were now formally tied to consultation with representatives of the kingdom. And that was very important, a very significant change. The 1188 Cortes of León is often described as the cradle of parliamentary democracy in Europe. Now, while other assemblies existed before, such as the Anglo-Saxon Assembly or the Carolingian councils, none had institutionalized the participation of common citizens. There was also another one, I think, in Iceland and later on in Poland. So they were around, but it seems like the ones that took place in León really were the real deal. In the decades and centuries that followed, the parliamentary model of León influenced other Iberian kingdoms. The courts of Castile, Aragon, Catalonia, and Portugal all developed representative institutions in the 13th century. In the same fashion, the concept of consulting the three social groups, the three estates, eventually spread across Europe, shaping the evolution of parliamentary systems in England, France, and elsewhere. Modern historians regard León's experiment as an early expression of popular sovereignty, the idea that legitimate power arises from consultation and consent rather than absolute rule. Its spirit anticipated the democratic institutions and movements that would emerge later in later centuries, especially in the English Parliament to the French Estates, and as an offspring of England, American democracy too. The legacy of Alfonso IX's initiative endures in both Spanish and global history. So as we were mentioning before, in 2013, UNESCO officially recognized the decrees of León of 1188 as part of the Memory of the World Register, acknowledging their exceptional value as the earliest written record of the parliamentary system representing all social classes. Today, the city of León proudly commemorates its role as the birthplace of parliamentary democracy. Scholars, politicians, and civic institutions, as well as the people themselves, continue to celebrate the Cortes of 1188 as a milestone in the development of human rights and representative government. So these Cortes stand out as a landmark in the history of political thought by summoning representatives of towns alongside nobles and clergy. Alfonso IX laid the groundwork for a political culture based on consultation, law, and shared responsibility. His initiative transformed the relationship between ruler and subjects, introducing principles that would resonate throughout Europe for centuries. The limitation of power, for example, the defense of individual rights, and the legitimacy of collective decision-making. In an age still dominated by monarchies and feudal privilege, at that time, we're talking about the 12th century, the 13th century, the Kingdom of León's parliamentary experiment represented a visionary step towards modern democracy, and one that continues to inspire the values of representation and justice at the heart of parliamentary systems today. And that'll be all for this podcast brought to you by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. You can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.